الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والتابعين يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم ارزقنا علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء، ونعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعاء لا يستجاب له. أمين أمين يا رب العالمين. اللهم ألهمنا وسددنا، اللهم ألهمني رشدي وقني شر نفسي. يا الله يا رزاق يا كريم يا حليم يا عفو يا أكرم الأكرمين يا حي يا قيوم يا غياث المستغيثين ويا مفرج كرب المكروبين، ترى مكاننا وتعلم حالنا ولا يخفى عليك شيء من أمرنا. اللهم يسر لنا اليسرى وباعد بيننا وبين العسرى. اللهم ارزقنا سعادة الدارين وكفاية همهما. اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب حبيبك المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم وحب من يحبك وتحبيب عبادك فيك. اللهم علمنا ما جهلنا وذكرنا بما نسينا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. يا الله. 2 weeks ago, I do not know if I shared it with you or not. Something happened and it opened for me too many topics. And it all lead to what I always talk about. I went to this place to buy some books, and some brother asked me a question. What is the question? He tell me, a young man go to make salah in a masjid, and the window was open, he felt cold, he tried to close the window, he cut his finger. He called the police. He reported and he sued the masjid. Yes. And now the locality collecting money for that. And he tell me, Imam such and such masjid, he supporting him and he give him advice.
Advice to sue him masjid?
Yeah.
Imam?
The Imam. In the meantime, another man was listening and he asked me a question. What is the question? He told me, I used to live in Guyana and Latin America. He's Arabic descent, without mentioning where he's coming from. And he told me, I'm always away. Meaning, me and my family was out, completely out of Islam. And he told me, somebody introduced me to Sheikh Kishk Rahmatullah alayhi, Egyptian scholar. And he changed my life. He told me one day, one imam, one scholar coming to give khutbah. I give him a ride. And after I give him a ride, and I put a cassette in the car, this is my habit, and I listen to Sheikh Kishk Rahmatullah alayhi. And this scholar, he told me, Astaghfirullah al-Azim, Astaghfirullah al-Azim, take it off. Take it off. I asked him why. The man replied to me. He said, the scholar, he tell me, this sheikh, he using a lot of ahadith mawdu'ah and ahadith da'ifa. Weak hadith and unknown hadith. And he full of bid'ah. He did a lot of bid'ah. And he tell me, now I'm confused. I do not know what to do. I tell him, you see, is a calamity in the ummah. You see me, you do not know who am I, and you want me to tell you if Sheikh Kishk is a good man or no? A big scholar, who am I? Who am I to say who is good, who is bad? I tell him, but I can help you. I tell him, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and who Ibn Abbas? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called him Habrul Ummah. the turguman al-umma, the translator of the ummah. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, he was not even 19 years old. Yes. Imagine, yes. He was a young boy. And his turguman al-ummah. Al-ummah. Meaning nobody can explain Quran more than Ibn Abbas. Who said that? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ibn Abbas one time, people was asking situation like that. And he said, we are the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We never said about people they are good or bad until they die. And we see the way they die. If they die in a state of obedience, we said they are good people. If they die in a bad state or disobey Allah, we said this people is from the hellfire group or from the stray group. I said to the man who confused about this sheikh, I tell him, do you know how this man died? He said, yes. I tell him, how he died? He died in the middle of Salah in a sajda. In the day of Jum'ah. Imagine, I have a brother in Pakistani and he know what happened to him. Just a few minutes before Salah. He died in Jum'ah time, before Salat al-Jum'ah, in a state of sujood. Is this man going to hellfire? Is this man is the people of Bid'ah? Because if he were the people of Bid'ah, it will never be this his ending. Tell me now, who have the Bid'ah? The sheikh who died or the one who's spreading this talk? The one who spread the talk. I go to another place to buy some books. And I saw books for different sect and different group. Some of it's completely out. And I ask the man, the one who's selling, I ask him, do you know this book? He told me no. I tell him, do you know the author? He said no. I tell him, do you know what the book all about? He told me no. I tell him, why you sell it? He told me about other book, we'll ask him for it. What I'm trying to say in here. This is a condition of us.
What was the book?
It's many books. It's not one book. I do not want to mention the name or mention the group. Because my topic in here is Dawah. But it's bye-bye book. Meaning a book can lead you to hellfire. Okay? And many books like that with many groups. I do not want to tell you how many American Muslim publication or publisher they publish every kind of garbage. You name it, they doing it. I do not want to give you one of the biggest one in America. They publish anything by any sect, by any group. What is the topic in here? Anybody can give it to me in one word? One word.
The topic of why.
Why? What's happening? Confusion. Why all this? These people, all of them is the same.
Confusion.
No. It's not confusion.
Division.
No, it's not division. Where's sincerity? Where's sidq between you and Allah? Do you think you have sincerity and you believe you're going to meet Allah and all you care about the money? All you care about, you do not have anybody, even if you have no knowledge. Why you do not look for somebody who has the knowledge? And before you buy the books, you said, is this good books? Is this a good author? Is this accepted by the majority of imam in the ummah? What about the man? His finger got cut and he saw the masjid. What about the imam who's supporting him? What about the imam because the another sheikh using some weak hadith for him is weak? Maybe for the imam is not weak. Because he was a big scholar. Big scholar. Is the man who says that He has the caliber of knowledge above the another scholar to the point he can judge him. What about the another manner? We have a scholar who died in a very beautiful state of Islam, in the pleasure of Allah. A scholar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread his knowledge all over, we like it or we don't. A scholar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept him to be inviter to Allah, and his tape is spread all over, and it's changing a lot of family, and everybody say it. Is this how we deal with our Muslim scholar? I go to a masjid, without mentioning names, he tell me to talk. And just by Allah will, before my speech, I come in from long drive, I go to the bathroom, make wudu, you know, and do whatever I have to do, and I make wudu and prepare myself for the halaqah. And just every weekend I go, I meet one of the young boys in the bathroom. 11, 10, 12, 13, 9. All of them has one thing in common. They go to the bathroom, they do what they do, they make a mess all over, and they run upstairs. They do not make wudu, they do not wash themselves properly, or wash at all, and they run. Where is he going? To the masjid. They're supposed to be in halaqa learning Quran in the masjid. Some of them, once you get closer to them, you can feel and smell the urine. Do you know if the masjid have somebody, one person, he is in a state of najasa? The angel will leave. If we make salah, who will accept our salah? Who will carry our salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What about when you make sujood and you cannot take it? Because the carpet stink. Because one Muslim nice brother or sister, their feet stink to the point they do not wash themselves properly. And over again, the carpet so sting, when you go to sajda, you cannot take it. Who's responsible? Can you tell me? Where's the person who teaching Quran? It's just we want the puppet recitation, and mashallah, our kids recite, Ameen. And no manner. And this why the same youth, when they grow a little bit, they go to high school or college, they lose Islam. Why? Because we push. We push them to imitate us. Just doing ritual without meaning. They're not coming with complete pleasure. They're not coming with complete desire. They're coming just to do. Who said that? Who said in Quran, teach them even if they are in a state of najasa? Is this telling me now we educating our youth in the right way? Which one better? I spend 1 year and teach you one verse, or 1 year I let you memorize juz amma, the last juz, and in the meantime, you are dirty and have najasa. And you do not know what you're doing and why. And you have no value to it. And your life completely against Quran. I go in a place, the owner is two, both of them supposed to be a Muslim. And when you enter, the first thing you see is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in the wall, picture of all kind of singer and record player, a record. And all kind of another pictures. And I said, subhanallah, I asked one of the owner, who did this? He said, my partner. I said, do you know what this man did? لا إله إلا الله, it deny what he did in the wall. Or what he did in the wall, it deny لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله, محمد رسول الله, it's supposed to be taking off all kind of taghut, all kind of slavery, because you are a slave to the only one. I know two couple in a college. I met them in college. The girl from one country, the man from another country. The girl from Kashmir, the man from Pakistan. He won't marry her. The father refused. Why? He's not Kashmiri. Not only that, he's not from the same tribe. Another man, he go to Afghani family, he won't get married. They refuse him because he's not Afghani and he's not coming from the same tribe. You see? I see it all over. Okay, let's go back to what we said about the time of the revelation. The time of the revelation, Arabic people was in a state of ignorance. This is why I advise you to read Milestone, to just understand what the meaning La ilaha illallah. Our devotion, our love, our loyalty supposed to be to Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not to my culture, not to my family, not to my father, not to my mother. I be kind to my father, I be kind to my mother, but if they wrong, I tell them, excuse me, Allahu Akbar. What you said is culture, has nothing to do with Islam, forgive me. I cannot obey you in something like that. This jahiliyyah, this ignorance. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did us out of that. We see what's happening in India. We see what's happening in Palestine. We see what's happening all over. Why? Why? Jahiliyyah, all of us in a state of ignorance. And we're happy to send to the White House petition. And here and there. How many local people make petition to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have gathering and cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They said, but we have to do something. Which one first? Calling Allah? Or calling people first? What I'm sharing with you, because today we have to realize where we are. We are too far. We have to realize it. We have to start going steps by step toward Allah as soon as possible. And this is the main core of the problem today. We're just in the beginning of Mecca. If each one of us do something simple, I have a woman and a man. The woman embracing Islam 2.5 years ago, the man from Arabic country. Supposed to be Arabic person with a lot of Quran hadith, mashallah. What he did? He used a phone to call his parents. $4,000 phone calls by the name of his wife. And after 2.5 years, he paid only 2 payments. And her credit is ruined. And they're running after her to pay the money. In meantime, he complained he doesn't have money. But he opened 2 businesses. One business in New York, one business is in his country. And he's still saying, I have no money. Not only that, some of his relatives, he's stealing from him $11,000. But he still have no money. And the girl working and do everything, and he doesn't pay in a month except $100 for the whole house. and he do not want share anything. And when he came from overseas, he tell her, okay, you are much better than the girls in my country. And you have to be home before Maghrib. You cannot be out. But he will not even help her to go and do laundry or to shop. And she has to run, work, get the kids from the day center and work very hard. If a child cry, he tell her, no way, take the children out of the house. I have to sleep. I asked him, do you support anything in the house? He said, no. I said, why? He said, because I do not like her cooking and it's not my business. I eat outside. I swear by Allah, this girl, I teach her the cooking of her own, his own country. To the point, 1.5 years ago, he told me she cooking better than my mom. What is the topic? We are a liar. We make believe. We have different agenda. We don't care about Islam. We don't care about Muslim. We care about ourselves and what we like in the price of others. Who do more dhulm? You remember when we talk about this topic? When we do dhulm between each other, Allah sent people to do dhulm over us. Do you remember all the hadith about this topic? If we do dhulm, oppression against each other, Allah will send somebody to do dhulm over us. It's a promise. By this way, why we see what we see? Today, go try to marry an Arabic girl. You can. $40,000-$50,000. If you can. What's happening to us? Where is Islam? Why we are in this condition? A person tell me, the responsible people of the masjid asked me to educate the children on Saturday or Sunday. I tell them, what do you have to teach them? He said, I do not have it. I said, why are you teaching? He said, I do not know. I said, is anybody check what you're teaching? He said, no. Is the kids want to learn? No. Tell me, what kind of formula is that in a weekend school in America? And what kind of benefit will we give it to the children? Everybody is doing a job, like a routine job. The responsible, the imam, the people, the volunteer, even the kids. And this is why you see no change. Again, what this tell me? Why I'm saying what I'm saying? Is me try to show up our diseases? Or we try to learn from it? If every girl embrace Islam, we take her and destroy her. Instead of building her on Islam and give her supporting to grow and be inviter, we give her hard time until she rejects Islam. Or we leave her miserable with 2 or 3 kids and nobody to take care about her. And you see from that, hundred and thousand all over. Who's doing that? Us. What about where is the masajid and the role of masajid? Where is the Islamic center or what called Islamic center? Yes, we try to take care about the overseas. What about inside? What about our neighbors? What we are? Where we are? We have rights. People around us has rights. As soon or later, we cannot help nobody because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will trial us like He trial other because we neglecting the basic. And believe me, what I talk about it is nothing out of where we are. Because we talk about last week, Surah Al-Muzammil, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Khadija radiallahu anha, Zammiluni, Zammiluni. And this was a second revelation. Now we're supposed to talk about Surah Al-Muddathir, Dathruni, Dathruni, which according to the majority of scholars, it was the following of Surah Al-Muzammil. Now, what I tell you is exactly what's happening in Mecca. What we're doing now is no different between now and Mecca. Except one thing. We're doing it today by the name of Islam. At this time, you're doing it by the name of the statue. Look at the persecution. Look at the selling of drugs. Look at the cheating between each other. Look at the absence of amana, the trust. Tell me. The absence of love between each other, support of each other. Where is that? Shahiliya. The loyalty for each other, the loyalty for parents, the loyalty to a house, loyalty to a job, loyalty to anything. You can. Islam coming destroy all the loyalty to only one loyalty. The loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul. One love to Allah and His Rasul. One deity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One teacher is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I just stopped by one brother and he told me I have to show you a very interesting, beautiful book. And I opened it. I was shocked. Is a book to teach you sihr. A book to teach you sihr. Some relative sent him this book. In the beginning is the name of Allah, but later on, it drag you to call different shaitan and different jinn. What happens if you do not know? You stuck. In Arabic, when you said, Ya Allah, this is the only one you can say. Can you say, Ya Muhammad, Ya Ali, Ya Fatima? No. You cannot call anybody life or dead. The only one you call is Ya Allah. If you call anybody, even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is shirk.
In Pakistan, I have seen churches like this.
Sure. Is a biggest shirk. What does tell me? It tell me how ignorant we are. And we're not connected to the right educated people. I can make salah ala nabi and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the blessing of salah ala nabi, with the blessing of different name of Allah to do something for me. This is called shafa'ah. It's different. But to call Ya, Ya Fulan, no, it's not acceptable at all. But why people do that? Ignorant. Ignorant. I go to one college without mentioning name, and the female college or the female Muslim who developed a group in what they call it, MSO or whatever, they complain about the MSA men, Muslim. They said, we cannot do anything. I asked why. They said, a woman cannot speak because the voice of woman is awra. And woman cannot stand in the public and talk. But a woman can be involved in all kind of garbage. But when it comes to Islamic topic, is not acceptable. But the same woman, like one sister, she was wanted to study with me. Her husband said no. But she worked as, wonder what happened. Listen to this. She worked as a receptionist in Viagra. But she cannot learn Islam. She cannot talk and she cannot sit down with a Muslim learned person, but she can be a receptionist in Viagra. This reality in the Ummah. This is what we're doing. And after that, when the situation gets tough in the family, we cry. My wife did, my wife did, my wife did. But I'm not taking steps to educate myself. I'm not taking steps to educate my woman. Who pays the price? Me. Me as a man supposed to be. Wallahi, I swear by Allah. You know what I did in the college? I have one girl with me. She embraced Islam 1.5 months. And I said, I have a girl. She's looking for a husband. Is any man around can get up and tell me I am a man and introduce himself? I'm not looking for a male. I'm looking for a man. A man can take this girl and educate her and be responsible for her. Finally, one person get up. She asked him 2 or 3 questions. Topic is closed. She already closed the topic. Another one, the same thing. Why? They do not have it. Imagine if the male do not have it. He have doubt about everything in his life. How he start a family? What he can give to this woman? Do you know who's a man? A man is a teacher of his wife. But imagine if me a man and I do not have it. And I do not want to learn and I do not want my wife to learn. What happened? What happened is very simple. Uneducated in illusion Muslim family. And this is what we see all over. Okay, where are we going from here? And where we start from? We have to go back to the beginning of Mecca and find out what is the message from Allah to the people in the beginning of Mecca. The message was simple. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. Until now, I bear witness, we do not have it. We have it sometime, or we have it part-time. Because once you believe in La ilaha illallah, your life changes. But if you understand it, it changes you completely. Like one scholar I heard him 12 years ago, he said something so beautiful. He said, if Muslim only in America commit to Allah 1 week, meaning all the Muslim take a vacation only 1 week, and they go make 5 times Salah. Do you know what it means? CNN, NBC, ABC, everybody, the National Guard, the police department, everybody, fire department, everybody has to be in a state of alert. Why? Imagine 1 million Muslim in New York City going to make Fajr. 1 million Muslim people going back from Fajr. 1 million going to Zohr. 1 million coming back from Zohr. In Washington, D.C. is 500,000. In Los Angeles, 1.5 million. Chicago, Detroit, all the major cities in America, it has a big bucket of Muslim. Imagine all this Muslim just for 1 week going to pray 5 times Salah. That's it. Imagine the impact of society in the street and the highways. This will be a massive gathering. They cannot do nothing about it. What kind of da'wah will be? By the way, inshallah, when you plan to pray and you enter a masjid, pray in the side. You're not allowed to pray in the front of somebody facing you. You cannot do that. If you have to, you pray behind or in the side. Unless you are in Mecca. in Mecca is allowed because of the crowd. Different rule. But usually, as a mana, you take a side. All the way to the right or all the way to the left. Very important. Another thing, when two people pray and you enter as a third person and you find two people praying, you push the imam or you pull the ma'mum? Do you understand me? You pull the imam or you push the imam or you pull the ma'mum? Which one? Do you know?
Imam will be...
What's that?
Imam will be pushed forward.
Okay. It has two understandings. Either the imam, you do not push him. You just touch. Because according to Salah, in Salah, you do not allow to move more than one or two steps. Three steps, it drops your Salah. Unless an emergency. You do not push him until he becomes having two or three steps. But actually what's recommended, you leave the imam alone and you pull the ma'mum, the following person. You pull him from his arm, one step backward, and you let him stand next to you. No, or two or three steps, only one. And that's it, and you perform a line behind imam.
But one step backward will lead you too close to the imam.
It doesn't matter. Because actually, if you look to the manner of imam and ma'mum, you should be more closer, not too far.
But then when you bow down, you'll be...
It will not. Don't forget, if you take a reasonable step toward back, usually you will take a step according to your height. Mm-hmm. And this will give you enough place for your ruku'ah or sujood. And even if you have to bow yourself or like pull yourself a little bit just for a situation.
Just one question regarding the same thing. You come in a masjid and the first row is full. You cannot stand in the first row. So if you stand in the second row, you'll be by yourself. Can you pull somebody from the first row?
You can. But don't forget, today we have a couple of topics in here. Can you pull somebody who cannot and he start fighting with you? Because some people do not understand what you're doing.
True.
Okay? And you can pull anyone? No.
On the side?
In the side. But even then, you cannot take the one from the side all the way to the middle.
Yeah, right there.
You know? It has many understandings.
Is it the one on the left or the one on the right?
Okay, according to the Sunnah, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is used to perform any line from right to left. When you finish from right to left. And even is recommended if you are an imam, you stand in the middle of the line. Don't make it too much to the left or too much to the right. And you cannot have kids between, under puberty. They should be behind you or in the edge of the line in case they're not completely clean.
But they also say that if you push them back, they will not learn it. So if they are with you, then they are getting training.
Sure, but in the meantime, you cannot do that to the point you break the whole things. Because a child, can shaitan use him and penetrate in the whole line.
Yeah, in Pakistan, I have seen many people pull the child back.
Exactly, because this is a sunnah. This is a sunnah. But don't forget also, if you are a learned person and you have manner, and you have a child, don't stand in the middle. Take your child and be in the edge, right or left. By this way, you're always in the edge. And even if somebody else will come, they can do that. But you see, it's not a big topic. It's a minor topic. Today we have a bigger topic to talk about.
Let me ask one more question about the Quran this time. We hear about this ayah a lot of time these days. People give arguments for this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have made you an ummatul wasata, so that you are like a witness over man.
وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا.
Yeah.
لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ.
Yes. Okay. So what is the exact meaning of this ummatul wasata in relation to this being a witness?
Number one, this verse people give a lot of tafsir about it.
Yes.
Not only one. By this way, if I give you one, they will say, no, it's another one. And even if I give you all of them, you might generate your own one. Okay? It has a lot of meaning, and all of them correct. For example, we are ummatan wasata in everything. If you look to the early umam, they used to get a lot of obligation, a lot of prayer, a lot of worship.
I would clarify that most of the argument, this ayah is given in the argument that we are not extremists as portrayed in the media or something like that.
Okay,
we are an ummah.
MashaAllah. The topic in here when Brother Ahmed said, some people said we're not too extreme. It's correct also. But extreme in what? We're not extreme at all today. We are bye-bye today. Like I said to one brother, we're not even bye-bye. Some of us, like, you know the balloon was full of helium, going one way. We are going one way, and we're not coming back. Because if you look to the majority of the ummah, is bye-bye, sleeping. And you have a tiny, tiny group, is what they call them fundamentalists. What they do? You see, when we start implementing certain sharia, which is correct, in the wrong time or in the wrong way. And we forget we are part of environment. We have to understand that. You cannot escape environment. You cannot run from environment. You like it or you don't. And you're not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not give you a license to run from environment unless you migrate for your deen. And even you cannot do that unless you do your effort first. But today we coming, we want to get money and run. We want to get married and run. Build our houses and run. This is not Islam. This is not Islam at all. I supposed to come in any environment with the intention to be good to myself and spread this goodness with others. In the same level. But today, for example, people said the voice of the woman is awra. By this way, a man talked to me this weekend and he told me, a man traveled, and after he traveled, we used to be good to him, his wife talked to my wife, and my wife told me, she tell you to do such and such. By this way, here he is, he's trying to help this family, but he cannot communicate at all. By this way, we go to extreme, but this is not the meaning now. There's different understanding. We have to go to the understanding first of the Quran, and after that try to understand what people doing. The real understanding of Ummatun Wasata, because Allah make us this way. Allah make us short, not big. Small in sizes, small in ages, small in strength. Not like the people before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a very simple regulation. Before that it was very tough regulation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day of judgment, he will make us the first ummah to be witness over the all ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the Quran is a muhaymin over everything. But if you look in the past, for example, in many time before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when people used to commit sins, Allah sent an angel to put a mark over the door of the house of the person to everybody know he committed sins overnight. Look at the Adam alayhi salam. When the two sons used to do good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to send fire to eat up the good deed, and this is a sign of acceptance. By this way, the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and even the punishment of Allah become very soft, become wasat for this ummah. Allah give us many bounty, many bounty. By this way, we're not extreme to worship, we're not extreme in bye-bye, in dunya. We are wasat. What happened to the Jews and a Christian? When every group has groups who become so possessed in their own teaching, and they win. This is what we call it, the topic in Islam called al-ittiba' bayna al-ghulu wa al-taqsir, meaning to follow up between extreme or decrease. And today, you find it in the Ummah today. We're not really going in the Sirat al-Mustaqim. We deviated. We deviated too much right or too much left. And the basic right to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, path to Allah, we're not taking it. But this you can implement it how? Today you see what the oldest group they're doing today, the Muslim group. It is a lack of understanding in different places in Islam. Why? Today I talk about it before. We do not consider Islam. We look to ourselves. Instead of thinking about Islam as Islam, we think about ourselves. Show me how many people think we have to do this for Islam. Especially today, we have to show the role model to our own Muslim and the non-Muslim alike. By this way, we have to be reasonable, which is a priority, which one to implement first. And even if some rule, we can delay it with wisdom. We cannot just go like that. We talked about it before. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Mecca, He did not put a lot of rule. He built Iman and Yaqeen. And support of each other. The whole Mecca time was building Iman, building the oneness of Allah, building the slavery of Allah, free yourself from every aspect on your life except Allah. And this is the toughest part, by the way, to be free. Believe me today, to be free from every attachment to dunya is not easy. But doesn't mean you become a monk in the mountain. You see now, this also ummatan wasata. You can be a worshipper. You can be the Muslim worshipper and you still have four wives. No problem. Because it's the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You eat and you sleep. You have wives. You fast. You pray. You have life. But not to the point of extreme. Today we really did the extreme. Today, if some of us want to be a monkey, you cannot do it. We're so attached to dunya. We will want to go to the mountain with 4x4, Mercedes-Benz 4x4, you know, and we have a Coleman tent, a small, you know, Walkman and refrigerator, and you want to worship Allah in the mountain. Today, even, you know, if we want to be a monk, we'll be like a 21 or 22 century monk. Super duper monk, you know. Really. Look what we're doing. This not really. It's not. Look at even, may Allah forgive me about all the scholar who consider themselves Sufiya. Sufiya meaning the one who do zuhd. Get away from dunya. But you find the person preach and he get a Cadillac. Or Mercedes-Benz. And you're wearing very fancy clothing. Is this a role model? Why Isa alayhi salam, he did not get married? Why he did not have house? Why he did not have clothes? Because in his time, he came with a message. Because every messenger or prophet coming to break the extreme in his time. The extreme in his time was dunya, material. By this way, as a prophet, because he's a teacher, he has to do the opposite completely. To win the people, be a role model, they will never reach his level. But at least he sets the role model. Today you find the same people who talk like that, big doctor and big engineer, They live in the fancy luxury houses and they talk about Ummat al-Wasat. Excuse me. You do the Ummat al-Wasat in your life. You do not need all this luxury. Like last week I was in a place and they talk about the Indian, what going on in India. And I tell them, look at our lie. We want to do for Allah. We want to do a lot of effort to make petition. It's not what Allah wants. You said the Muslim really lost a lot of money and you are from India or even any Muslim? Okay. You have a house, $1 million, sell it. And buy, live in a small apartment and take big portion of this money or all and send it. Now you sacrifice. But you do not have a house, $1 million, bunch of this, bunch of that, a stock market, this and that, and give to the masjid $100 and mashallah. Allahu Akbar. Where's the sacrifice? Do you think Abu Bakr Siddiq, if he did that, he would be Abu Bakr Siddiq? Radiallahu anhu. He was a big merchant. By the end of time, he has nothing. If one of us do that, you said, you're crazy? You nuts? Your wife will divorce you in no time. Your kids will call you nuts. But if me, I'm a son of dunya, and I'm so attached to my account, even halal or haram, I don't care. Look at how much blind we are. You see, this Islam, if you look at the time of Mecca, when Islam started, the whole message was sacrificing. Today, I give a person a book or a tape, in 2 weeks, this person still didn't do it. But if the professor give him homework or a project, he's willing to not sleep at all for 2-3 days. He will take sterilized, he will take coffee, tea, whatever, caffeine, you name it, emergency, take a 15 shower at night, just to make sure the project done on time. Because you need an A+. By this way, A+ become Akbar from the pleasure of Allah. This reality, we cannot deny it. Or when I work like crazy, just to have $10 extra, or $100 extra. And after that, I come in the end of night, I say, excuse me, I have no time, I cannot read. What do you want me to do? If you cannot sacrifice any time, if you cannot sacrifice money, if you cannot sacrifice feeling, who you are? You're a liar. And 2 weeks I said it in one college, people were so upset. I said, tell me. If what I'm saying is a wrong, tell me. And if you get upset, ask yourself why. Is it because I'm wrong or it aching you? And if it aching you, alhamdulillah, I did my job. And after it aching you, think about it, what, how it will happen. And if it's not aching you, go beat up yourself with shoes. And old shoes, because you deserve it, first too late. Because you make believe. And this is what we're doing today. We love to make believe. Everything become routine. Either even Saturday and Sunday school is routine. Our salah is routine. Our reading is routine. Our action for Islam is routine. The only thing is not routine, our pleasure. Or what we think it is my pleasure. Today, I bear witness in the front of Allah. The pure Muslim I see is a non-Muslim. When they embrace Islam, they really embrace Islam. These people, they really embrace Islam. They sacrifice. They really sacrifice. They're ready to drop parents, family, husband, wife, money, job. I have many sisters, new Muslim. I tell him your job is haram. The following day she quits the job. And she has no place to go. But she believes in Allah. Look at this. Who have more iman? She, after 2-3 days, or a person 30-40 years in Islam, and he cannot stop haram? And he doesn't believe in Allah? Tell me. I feel so beautiful with them. I see beautiful honesty, beautiful sincerity. Imagine in American TV, when they give you all this Afghani sit down, and they have the market of opium. And people with big beard and imama and selling opium. And when the reporter asked him, this can, you know, corrupt people. He said, it's not my business. I'm just selling it. What's he going to do about it is not my business. And he said, it's my business, my father's business, my grandfather's business. Where is Islam? Do you think the beard is following Sunnah or tradition? Is the imama following Sunnah or tradition? It's tradition. It has nothing to do. Is Rasulullah SAW telling you to sell opium? Astaghfirullah al-Azim. It's haram. He said, oh, we sell it to kafir to do what they're doing to us. Everybody tried to do something. This, we are in the beginning of Mecca. Now, where is the Muslim on Mecca? Every one of us, ask yourself. What I'm doing to put my feet to the beginning of La ilaha illallah in Mecca? This honesty now, this sincerity. This wisely said, according to all the historical evidence, in Mecca was no one single hypocrite. Mecca has no hypocrite at all. Because to be a Muslim, to be a trial. Finished. You cannot be a Muslim and you be hypocrite in Mecca. You will be trialed. I was saying to brother today, but they do not know. It's coming up. It's coming up. And at this time, the majority of Muslims might lose their own Islam. Why? The iman is not there. When the time gets rough, you cannot. You do not have it. And at this time, what happened to all this salah? All this salah is a routine too. It's like monkey's tie. And we think we make salah. I do not know how we recite. Is this salah? Tell me. Do you know ABC about Islam? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said of the meaning of لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانَ إِلَّا مَا عَقْلَ مِنْهَا. When you pray, you will not gain except what you comprehend from. Tell me, if you said, Allah, Allah, what is that? Believe me, sometimes I watch people make salah, I get dizzy. The ways you move, I get dizzy. I do not know how they make salah and they do not get dizzy. And you know something? This is a disgrace of the ummah. They do not do that with a professor. Oh, they humble and polite and this and that. Why? The heart is so sick. All they care about is the degree, the job, the money, the fame. Because if I believe in Allah, is this the way I make salah? Is this the way I make salah? I'm in a hurry. Hurry of what? The most beautiful meeting I have in my whole day, I'm in a hurry to leave it. The only meeting can benefit me. Tell me, any meeting can benefit you more than that? Who else you can meet can give you what Allah will give you? And this is why I decided today to talk. To maybe we wake up. I do not want to keep talking and that's it. And even for me, because this talk is not only for you, for me too. Like one scholar, I love him for Allah, inshallah. And one brother reporting to me, it happened here in America. He was sitting with a big gathering, and he told them, we have no iman. He said, we have no iman, and I'm the first. They asked him how. He said, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. You will not be a believer until you love to your brother what you love to yourself. Who among us do that? When the time gets rough, do you really do that? I swear by Allah, I meet many people in need, but I do not ask anybody. Because even if I start asking now, if you give me $1,000 every day, I will spend it for Allah. If you give me $10,000 a day, I have many sources to spend it for Allah. There's a lot of people more than you think have a lot of problem in here. Do you think every girl embraces Islam and she has no place to go, and the family are rejecting her, and she has no halal job. What do you want me to do with her? Tell me. Where she go? Tell me. And even to send her to a Muslim family, they might corrupt her more than the street. And they give her their own disease. I have a Muslim girl yesterday, she visited me. And she lived with some Muslim girls, I will not mention where they're from, Muslim country. Sometimes she cry over their behavior, and she walk in the street crying. And she wait in the street until she go to sleep, because she cannot take it. So is the behavior. Tell me what we do, and what we doing. Who among us, he loves to Islam and Muslim more than what he has? You see, this is how the Muslim is. He deal with Allah. We're not dealing with each other. I can make believe, you can make believe. But Allah, no. We cannot cheat Allah. We can. You cannot cheat. You cannot lie to Allah. You can. You're just cheating yourself. You lie to yourself. You're not doing it with anybody except yourself. You're not losing, or me now anybody lose except yourself. Our piety will not benefit Allah, and our sin will not harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah above all that. Look at every time I go to any locality, or even college. You go to a college, has 700 Muslims. If you have 15, 20, you're lucky. Show up. And among the 15, 20, if they have one of them have something, you're lucky. And look at them after the session. They're acting like monkey. And all they talk about is the college. If you gain something from the talk you heard, how come you go back like you never heard anything? Tell me. This is a situation. All the situation is a sign from Allah to us. It's a sign. We do not see it. Any question, any concern? People tell me, you're not talking about the mercy of Allah. People tell me, you keep pointing finger, and you do not tell us what to do. Number one, I have to tell you, what is our disease? If we sincere, we will ask the doctor, give me the medication. And if I'm sincere, I will take the medication. We already have the medication. I do not have to tell you the medication. The medication is Quran. The teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dhikrullah, the remember of Allah. Where is that? How many hours you donated daily for Allah? How many good deeds you do daily? The same one here last night, she asked me, I heard Muslim talk about this hadith or this say. What the say said? اعمل لدنياك كأنك تعيش أبدا واعمل لآخرتك كأنك تموت غدا. This hadith by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do to your life like you're living forever. And do it to your akhirah like you're dying tomorrow. What some people take one part and forget about the another part. Why Rasulullah give two? To balance it. Ummatan wasata. Because like one imam, his name is Imam al-Qurtubi. He said, if Allah do not allow us to forget death, nobody will ever get married. Never anybody will eat, never any farmer will farm, never any fisherman will go fish. You will be crying until you die from crying, from fear. But from the mercy of Allah, He make us forget death. And the believer should fight to remember, to put us in a straight path. Listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. By this way, he do not said, this man, he drive us nuts, he put us in despair, and he leave. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا هو الذي يصلي عليكم وملائكته ليخرجكم من الظلمات إلى النور وكان بالمؤمنين رحيما تحيتهم يوم يلقونه سلام وأعد لهم أجرا كريما صدق الله العظيم. Oh, you believe, remember Allah in abundance and praise Allah day and night. He is the one, he pray over you, meaning he descend his mercy, him Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his angel, لِيُخْرِجِكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, to get you out from darkness to light. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا, and he is the merciful of the believer. تَحِيَّتُهُمْ يَوْمَ يَلْقَوْنَهُ سَلَامًا, the greed in the day you're going to meet him is peace. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا كَرِيمًا, and he prepare you a beautiful rewarding. This Allah, imagine when I hear this about Allah, he doesn't deserve to be remembered, he doesn't deserve to be obeyed, he doesn't deserve to offer me, to I forget what I want and remember what he want. Listen to the another two or three verses from Surah Az-Zumar, and you will find out is exactly about now. About now. Wallahi, about now. And very simple verses.
قُلْ يَا عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم وأنيبوا إلى ربكم وأسلموا له من قبل أن يأتيكم العذاب ثم لا تنصرون واتبعوا أحسن ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم من قبل أن يأتيكم العذاب بغتة وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ صدق الله العظيم.
Say to my servant, the one drowned himself in sins, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله, don't be despair from the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا, Allah forgive all the sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ, he is the owner of forgiving. He is a forgiver and he is a merciful. وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ, come toward your Lord and surrender and submit to him before the torture will come and you will not be victorious. Do you hear what Allah said? Before the torture will come and you will not be victorious. وَاتَّبِعُوا أَحْسَنَ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ, follow the best of what has been revealed from your Lord. مِنْ قَبْلَ أَن يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابُ بَغْتَةً, before the torture will come to you sudden, وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, in a way you will never suspect it and you will never feel it. Wallahi, I swear by Allah, I bear witness, I'm scared of this now. I'm scared of this now. Because I see the behavior of the Muslim, I see the sunnah of Allah, and I see exactly what's happening. Anytime we can receive structure from Allah. Somebody said, oh, astaghfirullah al-azim. Why you talk like that? Bashiru wa la tunaffiru. Give glad tidings and don't let people go astray. We already stray. How much we can go astray? How much we can go astray? How much we can go far? All this what going on and we not far? Yes, Allah is so merciful. Yes, Allah open. But what we doing? Yes, Allah is so mercy. Allah is the owner of repent. He tell you come. But what we doing? We waiting for the torture? We waiting for his pain? Is this what we waiting for? What your degree will do? What your business will do? What all these houses and family will do? I'm not telling you to stop. But stop being like nuts. And have some time for Allah. Today, if you look to the question, somebody said, can I join Salah daily? Can I make mask over my shoes? Can I sit in my office and make Salah? Why we do that? Because we want to accommodate Islam according to our life. And a Muslim is supposed to accommodate life according to Islam. What more than that? Wallahi, I see it. Nobody running after dunya and he get anything. Allah promise. Allah promise. Only when you start do, when you start getting closer to Allah. By this way, my advice today is very simple. Go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cry to Allah. Wallahi, I believe in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Anyone struggle for me, I will give them guidance. Put your nose down. Go visit the sick. Visit the grave. You will remember who you are. Young or old. Don't be arrogant. It's too late for arrogant now. Unless you want to lose Islam, it's up to you. Because if the situation get tough, and you do not have a strong iman and yaqeen in Allah, you're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. Anywhere. Do dhikr the maximum you can. But don't do dhikr like... Do dhikr slowly. Comprehend what you're saying. Say it a little bit loudly. And otherwise you go to sleep because your heart is so weak. You're supposed to be silent. It's much greater reward. But one scholar early in the scholars, he said, if you are in the early stage of dhikr and you're very weak, say it a little bit loud. By this way, you overcome your own shaitan and nafs. Because if you do dhikr quietly now, when you are weak, before you know it, you find out you do dhikr by your tongue and your heart and mind and everything was all the topic of dunya. But if you said, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, think, what am I? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ya Jabbar, Ya Jabbar, Ya Jabbar, Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud. Why? You won't hear it. You won't hear it yourself. But some people hold the tasbih. I finished 1,000 zikr. I finished 1,000 durud. Who you finish it to? Your crunching computer? Come on. You're working by nanosecond or microsecond? Is this how we treat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All what I'm saying is need sincerity. This is why I always repeat it. It needs ikhlas. It needs sadq. If you see the amount of dead and the amount of sick, it means not next. What I'm preparing for tomorrow? What I'm preparing for my grave? How I'm going to meet Allah? What I'm going to tell Him? What about contentment? Do you know this topic? I repeat it over and over again. Do you know why? We need it. We really need it, all of us. We need it constantly. Because all over, they do the opposite. Once he come out of here, like everybody was a racer, they erase everything you say, you hear. This is why we have to generate momentum by having an environment. Either you generate the environment in your place, or generate it with some people, or you go to somebody who has the environment and support and be a follower. You have no another way. If you be stray, the wolf will eat you. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Don't be like, you know, the singular sheeps. The stray sheeps, wolf will eat them. Be always in jama'ah, always in the groups. And not anyone. The one who reminds you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a command by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be always in the company of the believer. By this way, do you have the medication or no? Tell me. We have the medication, wallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough. Do you know just if you say, keep repeating, Allahu Akbar is enough. But say it with a meaning. And after that, implementing what it means, Allahu Akbar. Any question, any concern?
Assalamu
alaikum.
A little while ago when you repeated the verses, when Rabbina Azawajal says, tell my slave or my servant who is drowned in sins, don't despair, my mercy. You said after a while, Ramana says, come to me before the torture comes to you.
Yeah.
Suddenly. Now, is the torture... later I thought you were referring to torture here, but I thought the torture was death, what comes right after death.
Mm-hmm.
You can hellfire.
Okay. A scholar say, you see, you cannot go and take one part of the meaning. Okay? Because if you hear it closely, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ. When you're going to do Islam, after death or this life?
This life.
مِنْ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابِ. In this life or in a hereafter?
Here. Okay.
Because if you do not do that, meaning it's almost like Allah now tell you is the door is closed. Because if you do not do that, and the angel of Jesus come, you have no time. Listen carefully now. If the death will come, meaning Allah do not give you any chance. No way. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, after death is no tawbah. Either the sun coming from the west, or the soul reach this area, the throat. If the soul reach here, or the sun coming from the west, is no repent. Now think about what you hear. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling you, why Allah warning you? To give you a chance. Give you a chance when? Here or in the hereafter?
Now.
And even follows another sentence. وَاتَّبِعُوا أَحْسَنَ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Again. And when Allah said, ثُمَّ لَا تُنصَرُونَ. You will not be victorious. Victorious where? Here or in the hereafter? Okay? جَزَانَ وَيْكُمْ مُسْلِمِينَ.
Which surah was that?
If my memory is correct, Surah Az-Zumar.
Az-Zumar?
Yeah, I do not remember the verses exactly. In the middle of the surah. Close to the 2/3.
Sure.
Any question, any concern? Wallahi, my brother, today, honest to Allah, wake up before it's too late. If you are honest, start by crying to Allah. Just cry to Allah and ask Him, Allah, save me. Save me from my nafs. Save me from my own shaitan. Save me from my own temptation. Save me from my own ignorance. Save me from your anger, Ya Allah. Do you think Allah look at the ummah and happy? Look at what we're doing. Look how much we sleep again. Do we need another September 11 to wake up again? Look. We went back asleep. Actually, I've been in the places, and these places people used to call me. They did not call me. When I ask my wife, can you talk to them and tell them what's happening? They said, after September 11, my husband told me, don't call any Muslim anymore. Do you know that? Do you know how many Muslim family, they do not talk to Muslim anymore, and they change their names? This reality.
Change names too?
Yes, and their kids. Any Muslim family, a lot of Muslim family, they calling their names, their kids, and non-Muslim names. They said, we have to be careful in the future. This is exactly what happened in Spain, if you study the history of Spain. And this was the beginning of the end of the Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from his anger. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from his anger. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from his anger. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from his torture. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let out of our heart the love of dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our heart with love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the love of the believer. And make the good deed beloved to us. Until we believe, is nothing in this life can benefit us except getting closer to Allah. اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يقربنا الى حبك وتحبيب عبادك فيك اللهم ارزقنا حب رسولك يا رب العالمين اللهم ارزقنا حب المؤمنين يا رب العالمين اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار وتوفنا مع الابرار يا عزيز يا غفار اللهم استخدمنا لنصر دينك على سنة حبيبك المصطفى وأنت راض عنا وتقبل منا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اختم لنا بلا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حقا وصدقا ويقينا ودعوة وتبليغا وأنت راض عنا وتقبل منا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم ارفع غضبك وسخطك عنا وعن أمة الحبيب المصطفى اللهم ارفع غضبك وسخطك عن أمة الحبيب المصطفى اللهم أعزنا ولا تذلنا كن معنا ولا تكن علينا انصر بنا ولا تنصر علينا امكر لنا ولا تمكر علينا اللهم يا الله يا رحيم يا حي يا قيوم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام صلي على الحبيب المصطفى صلاة تملأ خزائن الله نورا وتكون لنا وللمؤمنين فرجا وفرحا وسرورا وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا اللهم صلي على سيدنا محمد بعد من صلى وقام وبعد ما صلت عليه الأنام وبعد ما صلت عليه الإنس والجان وبعد ما صلت عليه ملائكة الرحمن وبعد ما صليت عليه يا الله في الأولين والآخرين وفي الأفق الأعلى إلى يوم الدين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين صلى الله عليه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحانك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.